Police in Virginia have linked a shooting last night in Northern Virginia to the random shootings of a sniper at large in the Washington, D.C. area. The victim, Linda Franklin, worked for the FBI but was not a federal agent. She was shot outside a Home Depot store. 9 deaths are now linked to the sniper, with public anxiety mounting. Police are under great pressure to capture the person responsible or persons. Joining us by phone to discuss the techniques available to the authorities in solving the case is Dr. Michael Baden, chief forensic pathologist for New York State Police and the co-author of Dead Reckoning, the New Science of Catching Killers. During his 40-year career, he's conducted more than 20,000 autopsies. From 1960 to 1985, he was the medical examiner for the city of New York. And Dr. Baden, welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Hi, good to be with you.
So what are the techniques and the tools available to law enforcement authorities in this case?
Well, the first thing is to gather as much information from the crime scene. And in this kind of a situation, you have at least 2 crime scenes because of the distances between the perpetrator and the victim. Normally, in most homicides, the victim and the perpetrator get close, and you can have exchange of trace evidence, hairs, fibers, semen, saliva. But when somebody's shot from a distance like this, the place of death, the victim, is one crime scene. And the most important piece of evidence from the perpetrator is the bullet. The bullet, as you indicated in your introduction, links the cases. So the bullet will link the victims as they're coming from the same weapon, but doesn't tell you who has the weapon. The place where the shooting came from is another crime scene. If it's bushes or if it's a vehicle, the perpetrator may be some shell casings, fingerprints, hairs, fibers, shoe imprints, tire imprints at that area. Now, in this, so there are at least 2 crime scenes. It seems that some of the shootings were from behind bushes, the trees, but most of them were from within the vehicle. So the vehicle becomes the crime scene, which has a lot of evidence in it. But in order to make use of that evidence, we have to find the vehicle.
So in that case, it might be more useful in obtaining a conviction rather than obtaining an arrest.
That's right. But you see, in most murders that get solved, the solving is made by shoe leather, by calling, by speaking to people on the telephone, just like in the old days, in order to develop a suspect. The forensic science in most murders doesn't make the case. It makes the case better. Once a suspect is identified, then the forensic science can tell you whether you got the right person or the wrong person, and can lead to convictions or exonerations as appropriate.
We're talking with Dr. Michael Baden, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. If you have a question about forensic science and how it might be useful in the search for the Washington sniper, give us a phone call, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. And Dr. Baden, we've now had, so many of these cases, one after the other. Does the evidence as it mounts up, does that help in perhaps solving it?
Yes. We don't know how much evidence Chief Moose and the investigating agencies have gathered. And it's very encouraging. I'm doing this now for over 40 years to see how local, state, and federal agencies are working together. The teamwork concept, as manifest with some of the kidnappings in California recently, and now with the investigation into the sniper murders, is very encouraging for future development of forensic science and solving a crime. I think what happens is that we also can tell from the victims if there's a pattern. Most murders, serial murders, the perpetrator picks out a target group, mostly prostitutes, sometimes gays, blacks, Jews. Ted Bundy took college women who parted their hair in the middle and had the long, dark hair.
Mm-hmm.
Son of Sam, get behind people in lovers' lanes. It is extremely unusual to have a serial murderer just pick people at random, as it appears, although it may turn out that it isn't as random as it sounds if it's connected to a disgruntled customer or employee of Michael's or some gas station.
Michael's one of the stores that's been in several of the shopping centers that have been involved. Let's see if we get a caller in. Dave joins us now from Lawrence, Kansas. Dave, you're on the air.
Yeah, I wanted to know if any use is being made of our spy satellites to look at the murder scenes and, you know, check out the truck or anything like that.
I think that's a great question because I haven't seen that addressed in the discussions in the media or in the questions to Chief Moose, because as the caller indicates, we've got spy satellites all over the place, and it may be possible to, and I'm sure that's being looked into by the different agencies, to look at those satellite photos and see if they, because they can get right down almost to a license plate on a vehicle.
Yeah, but they're all in orbit, and they're generally, the orbits are calculated so that they fly over downtown Baghdad rather than suburban Washington.
Well, it depends. I mean, if by chance there's a satellite that happened to take a photo at that time, or if there's some kind of a store surveillance camera that happened to have the right view in mind, those are things I think that are being looked into. Whether or not it's going to prove anything, as you say, is another issue. But I'm sure that's being looked into.
Interesting suggestion, Dave. Thanks very much. Let's go now to Richard in Kansas City.
Hello?
Hi. Can we keep it quick? We're running out of time here.
Well, my question is, I always think that the police and whoever give out too much information about the killer and what it is that they're looking for, just like the man said a minute ago, when they find his vehicle, they're going to look for hairs and they're going to look for everything else. Aren't they giving him away as far as what he needs to hide and where he needs to stay away from?
Dr. Baden?
A quick answer. I think many times you don't want to let the bad guys know what you have. But in this kind of a case where you don't have an encounter between the victim and the perpetrator, and there's probably very little physical evidence presently available, the media can be very helpful in getting the public's attention, as with the Unabomber. Because the Unabomber was solved when Krasinski's brother read the manifesto in the New York Times or some of the other newspapers. And I think in this instance, the police are going to have to rely very much on relatives, neighbors, coworkers who may know a fellow who has a rifle, who's acting funny or isn't showing up for work, or in some way likes tarot cards or can be connected to this. So in this instance, I think the authorities are going to get more information from the public than they give up to the public, and they're not giving everything out anyway.
Richard, thanks very much. And Dr. Michael Baden, thank you very much.
Good to talk to you.
Dr. Baden, chief forensic psychopathologist for the New York State Police. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.